Welcome everybody. Thank you for coming along to this. I feel quite privileged to have such a lovely crowd in. Okay, my name's Stephen Blake. I run a company called The Thought Coach. It's thethoughtcoach.com if you want to look me up. And what we're going to talk about today is related to thoughts and the way thoughts influence us. And in particular to relationships. And this talk's all about givers and takers. But I just want to talk about thoughts for a minute. Because thoughts are, they're not real, but we turn them into reality. So when we have, we very rarely are troubled by good thoughts, but we're quite often troubled by bad thoughts. And yet we give them more clout than we do the good thoughts we have. And yet they're not real yet. So by actually thinking about them and then getting worried or depressed by them or whatever, we're actually turning them into a reality instead of just saying, well, it's just a thought. You know, perhaps I should throw it away or something. And in most thoughts or dreams or the way that we feel about things is a message to us. And it's telling us, well, this is something we need to do about something. So most of our emotions have some causal action, so we need to do something about it. So everybody would look on anger as a sort of like, oh, it's a bad thing. You know, people get angry and people get hurt and so on. But anger's a really good thing. Can you all remember Bob Geldof at the Live Aid saying, just give us your in money. Real anger there and passion about it. So if we actually take an emotion and actually do something with it, then all's well and good because it uses up the energy that came from that emotion. But most of the time we have things that spring to mind and we repress them and go, oh, I shouldn't be thinking like that, I shouldn't feel like that. And I don't like the word shouldn't because it sort of puts this pressure on you to, well, why shouldn't I? You know, who says I shouldn't? But it's our sort of upbringing and everything else sort of gets us to do all these things where we start thinking, oh, mustn't, shouldn't, can't, and so on. And somebody mentioned something earlier about the youthfulness of things, and that when we're younger we don't actually know that we can't do things and therefore we can do them. And it's an amazing thing. I did so many things when I was younger and did them really well, and I look back now and I knew nothing about it. You know, and the more experience I get, the more I realise I know nothing about much of anything. Right? But when you're younger you actually do things. So we actually put things in a way. As soon as we start going, oh, I shouldn't, couldn't, can't, or, you know, that's not for me, you need to query yourself and say, why is that? Is this something I would like? Is this something I would want? So I'll start talking now about givers and takers in a relationship. So quite often, you'll recognise yourself as either a giver or a taker. Fewer people recognise themselves as a taker than giver. So does anybody here recognise themselves as a giver? Yes, most of you. Which is probably why you're sat here. Now, it seems a perfect balance that givers and takers meet up. Because you have all this love and things to give. And you give. And this person comes along and you meet them. And they fall into the thing of, oh wow, that's nice, oh yeah, I'll have some of that. And as givers, it's a bit like giving a gift. You give a gift to somebody and you go, here, have one of these. And they go, oh, thank you, and put it down. You won't give them any more. But when you meet a taker, they actually go, oh yeah, I'll have some of that. And then you give them some more and they go, yeah, I'll have some of that. And it sounds great. So you start off in this relationship as a giver and taker, and things are absolutely brilliant because the taker gets everything they want and the giver gets everything they want because it's give, 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 give. And then a few years down the line, this is why people get remarried for many times, a few years down the line it gets to the point where the giver keeps giving and now the taker just goes, oh thanks. It becomes accepted, that's what you do. Or the guy comes in, sits down, waits for his tea to be cooked, because that's what always happens. So, you know, it doesn't help with the washing up or anything, because, well, I'm just getting tea now, that's how it works. And the giver now starts to feel a bit annoyed on the inside. And it starts to build up. And then it's this additive thing that every time something happens, it's remembered. And so people like log it. Now, this is why I brought this in here. How your brain works is, it has a loop of automated processes. Every single thing that you do has an automated process for it. And 99.9% of everything we do is done through this automated process. And yet we think we're clever because consciously we're quite clever. We can think about things and we can do things and we can invent things and so on. So we think we're really clever with that. But that's like 0.1% of everything that runs you. 99.9% is done automatically. So even this talk now, I don't know what I'm going to say next, so I might just drive in a minute. Because it's coming from my automatic that goes, well, you've done all this before, you know what you're talking about, just get on with it. Right? So I'm not consciously thinking, so it springs into the conscious, and it goes, yeah, that's all right, I'll carry on doing that thing. Which is quite funny, because I've just lost where I am now. So, when we do anything for the first time, it's always difficult. New job, we don't know where things are or whatever. We feel really awkward that first day, and people help us and all that. And then we get into the automated process, we know where things are now and so on. And the best example is when you drive a car. Is you get in the car and you have the accelerator pressed down and let the clutch out at the same time, and you've already put it into gear, and now you've got to do this where one goes down and the other one comes up, which is a bit counterintuitive, isn't it, really? If they both went down together, that'd be fine, wouldn't it? So we do this thing where one comes up, one goes down. And the first few times we do it, the instructor says, now mirror. And you go, mirror, as well as that, and this, and you can't do it. But, and in fact, when you first started driving, how many people kangarooed the car down the road? Right? You get in it and if I'd asked you to get in the car now and I said I'd give you £50 for anybody who could kangaroo it, I bet none of you could kangaroo that car down the road. But you couldn't do it. Because that override would come in and you'd use the clutch at the right time, just as it's about to kangaroo it would actually set off, and you go, lost me £50. So everything we've ever done, if we do it enough, it becomes an automated process. And it goes around this loop. And if anything's unfinished business, it actually never ever stops being a loop. It just carries on running. So when we have a little thing, if we annoy somebody, for instance, so if you ever annoyed your partner, and you get a bigger reaction than what you thought you'd get, it's not what you just said. It's added to everything else to do with relationships. Okay? So imagine when you go to the airport and you come and collect your bag, and you look out for your particular bag, don't you? So you know you've got a little scarf tie around the handle or something, and you wait for it to come round. So there's a thing in your mind called associations. And everything we understand and deal with is associated to the emotions we felt at the time, the feelings and where we were and everything else. And so that's why we can recall things and we know, you know, what town we're in, sort of the rough time of day, whether it was winter or summer and so on. So if we talk to a partner and they say something that really upsets us, it's probably not what they've just said, because what's happening is the association goes, I've heard that before, and this is when I get angry, or I get upset, or whatever. Because what you've done is, you've waited for this bag to come round, you've opened it up, and you've actually thrown this new thing in, and you've stirred it up. So everything that's in there now, every time anybody's annoyed you, is mixed in that pot. But can you imagine if you went on holiday where you took a suitcase, and you took a suitcase from the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. And that's what we're doing in the mind, is we have all this series of suitcases all representing certain things. And every time it's full of all this rubbish, all the old rubbish that we don't need. But it's because it's on this loop, and it's because it didn't have an ending. So particularly with relationships, when a relationship ends, if we can't quite work out why it ended, if we're not sure whether it was their fault or all mine, was it all their fault, all my fault, partly mine, partly theirs, oh, if only I'd said this, if only I'd said that. The reality is that relationship has now ended. You need to learn whatever you need to learn from it and then move on. And then you can close that loop off. It doesn't need to go anymore. You've learned the lesson from it. But you must learn the lesson by analysing it properly. Right? So the person that's been married 6 times, you can't just say all men are bastards, because I've had 6 of them now, they're all bastards. So, you know, they've got to be all. I've had this argument before. They're all bastards. Well, they're not, because there are nice guys out there. And in fact, nice guys get rejected on the boredom factor, because they're predictable and everything else. So it's sort of like, oh, well, he's all right, but, you know, there's no life or whatever. Whereas the, you know, the bad guys are the adventurous sort of like, you don't know what they're up to next. You're always thinking about them, because you wonder what they're up to. So you keep, they keep on your mind all the time. So we actually start to work out. So if you've been married 6 times, and each one's ended in a divorce, you actually have to say to yourself, well, what's the common factor here? And the common factor is you. Because I bet they're all very similar. You know, usually there's traits within them that you keep picking. And you keep picking that trait because there's something unresolved with an earlier issue about romance and everything, or your views on life and relationships. And, you know, you could get a bit Freudian and say it's to do with your father, and, you know, if he left when you were young, you know, and that doesn't resolve. But it's you have to actually say, well, what am I doing wrong if I'm doing this selection process? And I've done it 6 times now, and each time it's not got right. And I think it's wonderful when you hear that people have been married 6 times and going to get married the 7th, because it's almost like the, was it the triumph of hope over experience, they call it. They're still hoping that this one will be right. But we're back to where I started off, which is givers and takers. That anything can be all right for a few months, and it all seems very wonderful, because you're not both in that mode. You're doing what you need to do, and you're trying to represent yourself in the way that you feel you should be, or they should see you in, rather than the actual you. And there's also this thing of putting people on a pedestal. If you think that everything they do is absolutely wonderful, as soon as you realise that something they do wrong, you actually start to look for other things they do wrong that will annoy you, and then they start adding up, and it becomes this build-up of things. Whereas if we can start to see people as actual, just flawed human beings, they are whatever they are, we obviously fell for them in the first place because of something. If it was as shallow as just the fact that, you know, it's the best looking person you've ever seen or whatever, that's not the recipe for a long life. So you have to think about these loops and actually analyse things, deal with it, move on, work out in your life where you want to be and where you want to go to. So we'll get back to the givers and takers. So the giver keeps giving, the taker keeps taking. And it seems a perfect thing until the giver gets to this point where everything they do, they seem, is not appreciated anymore. As soon as we stop appreciating each other, because it's just become the norm of things, we just go out and see them and so on, that's the sort of death of it, if you like. We need to see it's a bit like giving gratitude. Does anybody here give gratitude every day? Yeah, quite a few of you. Every morning I give gratitude for all the things in my life that are good. So I talk about my family, my wonderful girlfriend, I go through a whole list of people who I'm pleased to have met in my life, even those that have done me wrong, because I've learned experiences from it. And then I usually end off with, and thank you for all the shit in my life. And because without it I wouldn't be a really good therapist. But I always end it with the last sentence, which is, however, I have enough anecdotes to use now, so don't give me any more. Okay. So, but whatever you think about is what you get out of life. if you think things are going to go wrong. So there's a, if your relationship's starting to sort of deteriorate a bit, instead of thinking, I hope we don't split up, I hope we don't get divorced, I hope we don't, you're actually thinking about splitting up, divorce, and all those sort of things. So what you want to do is flip it over, and as soon as you realise you're thinking about something negative, try and think about the positive. And to me, the positive in a relationship is, well, why did we get together in the first place? What was it I fell in love with this person for? And what you'll find is, not only have they changed, or you think they've changed, but you've changed in the way that you deal with them. And their reaction to you, therefore, changes. So you're both giving off different vibes now. And if you put yourself in, back into the vibe that you were when you first got together, you'll start to notice that their vibration changes to the same thing. It's all about thinking about what you want out of life, not what you don't want. So think about the first time you met and how you felt about each other. And if you can keep that going in your life, then you've got a love for life, haven't you? I'm always concerned when people say that love is painful. I think the loss of love is painful, but I don't think love is painful. No. I think if love is painful, you're in the wrong relationship. Yeah. You know, you want to get out of it. Because love shouldn't be painful. It shouldn't be torture. You know, you're not analysing things again. You've got the person that you dreamed about who's, you know, really exciting because they're always off out and you never know where they are. Well, you know, that's a very short-term thing to do. Okay, how are we doing for time? I've got this watch, it's called a guess watch, and I actually can't tell the bloody time on it. I'll have to look up there. Okay, so I want to talk about the difference between assertion and aggression. Because when the giver keeps giving, and the taker keeps taking, at some point, there's a lack of assertion to actually say, oh, we used to be like this. I used to give you presents, and you used to go, oh, thank you. And people don't understand the difference between assertion and aggression. And I quite often talk to people about assertion, and they say, oh, no, I don't want to be aggressive. Well, the two are entirely different. In fact, if you're not assertive, you have to be aggressive. If you lack assertion, you will always become aggressive. Not very often. So what it will be is, well, I never get my own way, I never get my own way, I never get my own way. And then it gets to this point on this loop where you go, I can't cope anymore. And they say something and it triggers off this and you go wild. And they go, what the hell did I just say? And it's not what you just said. It's this loop of things. They're so frustrated now by never getting their own way that they actually break. Whereas if you can become assertive, you can actually say, this is the way I feel. I don't like the saying, this is the way you make me feel. Because that's putting the responsibility on them. And we should all be responsible for our own actions, our own feelings. So you can say, when you do this, I feel like this. So, but we started off together as givers and takers. There's no bad guy in this. It's not the taker's the bad guy or the giver's the bad guy. It's just that you're actually taking it to extremes. I mean, obviously there's bits in between it anyway. As a giver, quite often we give. And somebody gives us a compliment, particularly females. You say, oh, you look lovely in that. And they go, didn't I look lovely in the other one? Or there's some sort of feedback. So this is a bit like rejecting a present. Somebody says to you, you look nice. If you say, oh, thank you, brilliant. You've both sort of got something out of it. If you actually go, oh, no, I don't have that fat, I want to don't like these bumps, or oh, the blue one's better, or whatever, you're actually rejecting a gift that somebody's giving you. And so when the taker says, oh, you look nice in the dress today, and you go, no, you're actually saying, don't ever give me a compliment again. And for people who actually keep giving compliments, who keep getting them thrown back at them, they actually stop giving compliments. It's a very natural process. So my idea is that givers need to learn to take a bit, or receive, if you like, It's not snatching. And the taker needs to learn that if they keep taking, it's a bit like the goose with the golden eggs. You cut the head off to find out if there's any more inside, it stopped laying. So both of you need to actually pull towards the middle ground and actually learn, given these to learn to continue giving if they want to, but as long as they don't resent it when they do. Because you'll always hear this, you'll hear people talking and say, well, that's me, I'm soft, you know, I'm always giving and giving and giving. Which means if you tell people like that, you actually resent doing it. So do it at a level that you give and you actually like and enjoy giving at. It's not about getting return from it. But the taker needs to do the same. The taker needs to realise that you can't just keep taking. You actually have to give in return. Right, so, would you all like to do an exercise? Okay. Right, there's something that I knew of, but I just got reminded of it yesterday, and it's quite an interesting thing. Has anybody here tried meditating? Most of you? Right, okay. Anybody any good at it? Anybody really struggle with it? Well, one of the things is to stop the chatter in your head is quite difficult. Because if you've got 10, 12 things going on in your head and they're all whizzing around, whichever springs into your mind first becomes more urgent and important than it is. Because there's almost like, oh, there's another 12 backing it up, so I've got to do this now, or I've got to think about this now, or I've got to puzzle it out because the other 12 are coming. So if you actually say to yourself, right, oh God, there's all these things going on in my head, I must stop it. You've now added another one to the list, which is stop it. Right? So you've got 12 processes going around, and now you've got 13th one going, stop it. So as these things go around, if you start to realise that all these things are going on in your head, if you actually say and accept there's all these things going on in the head, it actually starts to calm down. And I normally have a little ball with some silver flecks in it. And if you can imagine this, you've got to imagine it now. If you shake it up and you stir it around, if you then keep thinking of these 12, 13 things, they keep swinging around. If you actually just give yourself a few seconds now, not even a minute, and just go, okay, I accept there's lots of things going on in my head, it now starts to calm down. There's all the little silver flecks onto the bottom. And then you can ask yourself questions like, well, what's the most important thing I need to do at the moment? Or what's the most urgent thing I need to do at the moment? And it'll come to mind. And for those that struggle with meditation, usually we do distraction techniques. So we do a lot of breathing or whatever. And you concentrate on your breathing. And your conscious mind is so small that even just concentrating on your breathing really takes the conscious, it fills it up. And it goes, oh, I've got to go in. Oh, I've got to go out now. And that fills your little tiny conscious mind up. And your unconscious mind is able to do whatever it needs to do. And so we're distracting the conscious to get to the unconscious. But you can quieten your mind down in another way. So I don't want you to be rude now, but I want you to all stick your tongues out, please. Right? As far as you can. And I want you to hold, I hope you wash your hands. I want you to hold it between your finger and your thumb out as far as you can. And I want you to just think on the inside now and just see how the chatters calm down. Okay, and when you've realised it's calmed down, let go of your tongue. Okay. You're still going, Anne-Marie, aren't you? Okay. Right, now, that would be look a bit silly if you do that when you're out and about. So I'm going to give you a different technique that does the same. But the whole purpose of doing that is, when we think, and we think in words, we're actually translating it to verbalising it. If we stop our tongue moving, we can't talk. I could have got you all trying that, which would have been even funnier. So, holding onto your tongue stops the brain from so much chatter, because it's now going, but I can't chat because my tongue's stuck still. Okay, so I'm going to give you a more discreet way of calming the mind down, which is to just take your tongue and just imagine that you're going to just touch, there's a drop of olive oil on the top of your tongue, and you're just going to touch it on the roof of your mouth, and just hold that little drop of olive oil there. So just visualise that for me. So just take the tongue up to the roof of your mouth. Just hold it, just that little gap away that's just holding that drop of olive oil at the top of your mouth. And notice that it's done exactly the same thing. Okay, it stops that chatter. Right, you can all let them move again. So one of the things I'd like to do with you, in fact, if we've got time, I'll do a couple of exercises. Can you all pair off now, please? We're going to do a thing called active listening. Right. If anybody's not going to partner, shove your hand up. Just pair off and just going to get you to chat to each other. There's a lady Yeah, today? Yeah. That's all right. I just leave my glamorous assistant at that. Oh, we can chat about this later. Okay. Right, here's the rules of this. In life, we tend to, when we're talking to people, quite often we don't actually listen to what they're saying. Well, as soon as they've said a few words, we're thinking of our reply. And then we work on our reply while they're chatting, which means they could say anything in the next few words, and you wouldn't notice, you'd still come back with the same reply you've just been rehearsing. Now, I did say that men and women both like to be appreciated. So when somebody talks to you, and I had a girlfriend once, fairly recently, who she would just like be looking around and doing other things, and I would stop in mid-sentence just to see if she was actually listening. And she wasn't. Because it didn't make a blind bit of difference. Or I would throw stupid words into a sentence just to see if it actually made it, and it didn't. Right? And then I would say, so have you been listening then? And she'd go, oh yeah. And she'd be able to repeat something that I'd said, enough that she thought, well, she had not been listening, but she wasn't listening. So this is a thing called active listening. So what you're going to do in a few moments is, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes each. And one person is going to say something, so it can be what you've learned from this so far, or a problem that you come across on a regular basis, or anything that you want to talk about. And the other person is only allowed to go, or ooh, or tell me more. Okay? That's all you're allowed to do. Right? But you must listen. Because I might get you to ask questions later about what you've said to the other person. Okay, so you must listen and take it in. But I want you to do the tongue bit. So I want you to stop that internal chatter. And because you know you're not going to reply, you don't have to rehearse what you're going to say back to them. As long as you remember, or tell me more. Okay, that's all you're allowed to say. So I'd like to give you 2 minutes now. Choose which one's going to talk first, and have a little chat. Okay. Don't forget the tongue. Hold the tongue.
I'm not going to talk to you at the same time.
Another 30 seconds. Can you finish off when you get to the end of your sentence? You say where you are because you're going to do it in reverse. Any feedback from that boy, please?
You could have stopped to one subject instead of 5 or 6.
Sorry, who did? You must be French. You understand that otherwise, don't you?
Well, she remembers everything.
Does she? Yeah. Okay. Did you feel that you were listening to?
Yes, once.
Good. Okay. So would you like to share that experience the other way around now, please?
No.
Okay. Excellent. So how did the listening to feel this time?
Yeah, good.
Good. Good. It's a strange thing, but very few people ever are properly listened to, which is why I have a lovely audience here today.
That's why I have it.
Okay. Would you like to do one more exercise before you go?
Yes. Okay, right.
So I'll just tell you what I actually do before we wrap up, because we'll do the exercise and we'll wind up. So I advertise myself as a thought coach, so I help people with the thoughts, control the thoughts that control them. Right. So I usually help people with major breakthrough sessions. So anything in your past that you need to remove because that's holding you back for the rest of your life, I can help you remove. But I also do coaching, one-to-ones, and I'm going to be producing a range of CDs and so on. So if you can fill in a prize draw, that will help me to produce the right ones for you. And I obviously give talks and speeches to things. I do it for other groups, so if you're part of a group anywhere and you want a guest speaker, then you can hire me. So we'll do the last bit then, which is, can you all get so you're nice and comfy? Right, well, there's certain things in your life you can't give away, right? Because nobody wants them. But there's something you can give away that everybody wants, which is love. And the nice thing is, you don't have to keep stock of it, because the more you give away, the more you actually have. So it's an incredible thing to have. So it's one of these things, if we actually become embittered by previous relationships and we go, right, nobody's ever going to break my heart again, I'm going to seal it up, nobody's ever coming in again, you've actually just made a mess of the rest of your life. Because although you won't get hurt again, or you think you won't get hurt again, you're actually just going to hurt from now till eternity. Right? You have to open your heart up and let other people in. You have to do the analysis to make sure you let the right people in. But there's another way of doing things, which is what I do, and it's a technique that actually is quite life-changing. And that is to constantly be giving out unconditional love to everybody on the planet. Right? And I'm going to show you how to do that now. And what we're going to do in a minute is envisage giving out love to everybody on the planet, but actually going right around the world and returning back to us. And the strange thing is, when I say it's coming back to you, you will actually feel all the love magnified coming back. So the more you can feel this and the more you can send it out, the more you actually get back. And it attracts people into your life, because if you send out love, all you're going to get back is love. And you can actually deal with people who you would normally get angry with, you know, the driver that just cut you off. If you're sending out unconditional love to everybody on the planet every day, it's very difficult to get angry with a guy just because he's cut you off. Because you don't know if he's in a hurry, you don't know what he's doing, you're not bothered. You're not making your judgment anymore. You sort of start to lose the judgment in life. So if you're willing to go ahead with this, let's begin. Can I just ask you to take three large breaths? Breaths. Be careful when you say that. Because three's an odd number, isn't it? Okay. And notice every time you breathe out that your shoulders drop down a little bit, and just leave them down there while you take the next breath. Okay? And then I want everybody to go, ah. More than that, the cat's just gone. Okay. Now, close your eyes is probably best. I want you to think of somebody or something that you love absolutely and unconditionally. And I want you to notice that in your body, where it is and what the sensation's like. And then I just want you to expand that sensation. Just feel it a bit more. Just brighten the colours up. Make it a bit noisier. Just add some music if you like, some wonderful loving music. And just feel that love radiating out right round your body. Feel it reaching every little bit of the inside of you in a swirling motion as it keeps whooshing around, getting bigger and bigger. Centrifugal motion. just feel it filling up absolutely every little cell of you underneath your skin. Until it's full to bursting, you have so much unconditional love for that person. Now I want you to change this into unconditional love for absolutely everybody on the planet. Even the bad guys, because they need it more than anybody else. And just feel that swirling around inside of you until it's bursting point. And now I want you to let it go and into the room. I want you to fill this room up with that unconditional love. And I can feel it now. Just fill the room up. Now I want you to fill the whole of Scunthorpe up, which is probably never a sentence you've never heard before. Right, fill the whole of Scunthorpe, the unconditional love, the whole of the UK. It's spreading now across the world. Just notice it disappearing around the oceans. Just visualise the earth, the big sphere. And just feel that love setting off in every single direction. And it's going into contact with every single person on the planet. And it's going right round now, and it's round the backside of the earth now. And it's covered everybody now, and it's feeding back towards you now, containing all their love that they've got for everybody else on the planet. And feel it now as it comes back here into Scunthorpe and into this room and into your body. Just feel that love magnified in your body. Just know this is how love is, and that you can do this all the time. You can do this whenever you want to. You will never deplete the stock. The same happens with joy. You can send out joy and it will come back tenfold, millionfold. This is something you have in your power now to do at any point in time. And the more you can put all of your senses into it and the feelings and strengthen that feeling, the more you can do it. Now I'm going to ask you to do something with one hand. To touch your finger to your thumb or something that you don't normally do during the day. Okay? And I want you to hold that. Touch one finger to another, a finger to the thumb or something. But with just one hand or two hands or whatever you want to do. This is called an anchor. And while you've got that feeling, just hold on to that feeling and hold on to that anchor. And hold on to it for as long as you can. Hold on to it as long as you can, and as soon as it starts to fade, undo it. And you can open your eyes when you're ready to come back into the room. Okay, now, the thing I've just taught you is a thing called an anchor. You can bring on any state yourself, work yourself up a little bit about it, imagine it brighter and bigger and everything else, until it sort of gets you that tingling feeling, and you could put an anchor on. Use different ones for different feelings, or else you'll just sort of condense them or you'll mix them up. And it's like a battery charger. Whenever you want to feel that unconditional love, if you're down one day or something and you're saying, oh, nobody loves me, you can just go, oh. Well, actually, and you can use it. You have to do it on a regular basis, and that charges the battery up. But hold on to the anchor only while you're in the peak of it. All right? So build yourself up, build yourself up, build yourself up. As soon as you get that tingling sensation, put the anchor on. Anchor is not what stops you, it holds you there. Right? You put the anchor on, you hold on to that feeling, you're charging the battery up. As soon as it starts to fade, let go of it so you're not holding on to the lower energy. So you've built all that energy up inside. And if you do this on a regular basis, you can bring it back at any time you like just by touching that thing together again. And the way the brain associates things, it will actually say, ah, this is when we become happy, loving, or whatever. It will actually remake the connection. So you're just making a connection. But you have to charge the battery on a regular basis. And for those of you who do gratitude every morning, you can incorporate into that, because gratitude actually gets you that sort of buzzing feeling. And just anchor that and bring it back whenever you want to. Right, I hope you've enjoyed today's talk. You've been a wonderful audience. I've been Stephen Blake. And please, if you can fill in the green forms and give feedback, that means I will be able to give it to talks in the future. And if you can fill in the prize draw one, that will give you a chance of a session with me or a free CD. It will also help me develop my product. So thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh.